Yo, what up? It's DK. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music Podcast. I just want to do a quick plug about Antares and Auto-Tune. Antares makes the original industry standard Auto-Tune that we all know and love the sound of. We are sponsored by them, so if you visit mixingmusicpodcast.com/Auto-Tune, we do get a small kickback from every purchase. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Please enjoy this episode.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Lamentful Lou.
What am I lamenting?
I don't know. Are you sad about something?
I don't know. Maybe, I was thinking about my old dog earlier this morning, and then I saw two other dogs. I'm like, I'm really glad.
Are you being serious right now?
I'm really glad I don't have to pick up his poop anymore. I'm sorry, you know? I do lament his passing, but... You know, there's benefits at the end of the day, which is like less cleanup.
There you go.
Less stinky in the backyard.
Anyway, today's episode, we have a good episode today. We're going to try to be helpful here to you. And we're going to talk about what makes a good microphone a good microphone.
Yeah, in general.
Yeah, we might go into like microphone types, but specifically I wanted to focus in on like cheap microphones and expensive microphones, why it's worth shelling out or why it may not be worth shelling out more for a better microphone.
Yeah.
We get people like calling us in, texting us in or DMing us on Instagram all the time asking about gear. And one of the most common things that we get requested to, you know, share our opinion on is how about good microphones?
Yeah.
And, not only, I don't want to really share which specific microphones are great. I mean, obviously anything from Lauten.
Yeah.
But also, I wanted to share specifically about the characteristics of a good microphone versus a not good microphone. Wow, I got like a frog in my throat. Do you hear it?
I hear it ripping.
Excuse me. But let's talk about, let's stick in the realm of condensers for a moment here. Let's talk about like a cheap condenser microphone. And an expensive condenser microphone. Lou, what is like a consistent thing that you can tell that a characteristic difference between a cheap microphone and an expensive one? Just one.
Its ability to actually handle enough pressure from the sound source. You know, if the microphone,
like SPL.
Yeah, if the actual microphone starts to crap out when a vocalist like yells or does like some louder ad libs or like is like an R&B singer and they belt and the capsule can audibly distort before you're even distorting on the preamp or the interface, like the capsule itself just can't handle that level of pressure.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, I didn't even think about that one. Yeah, and especially, oh yeah, some of these like small diaphragm condensers, like they're really great. Sometimes they even have options too, like a pad or a filter. But yeah, they can handle high SPL, especially some of these mics are specifically like that's one of their selling points is that this one specifically has extremely high SPL. And you know what sounds really great on snares actually is a small diaphragm condenser can sound really great on snares, but only a few, like a handful of of condensers can handle that high SPL from a snare.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is like, what is it? The SM81 that we have,
that really crappy one.
It always sounds really great on a snare. I think I stole it from like a Wolfpack video that I saw them doing it once, and I've been doing it ever since, like from like 3-4 years ago.
So
it sounds great.
One of the ones that I like to use is, and I hate to be that guy, but the Neumann KM184s. And I say that guy because
those are small diaphragm from Neumann.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Everybody's a big Neumann fan, especially at the beginning stage. And then later on, it's kind of like when you're a teenager and you look at your parents and you're like, man, you guys were gods to me at one point. But now I see the flaws. and you're human. You're not bad people. You're just human. And the Neumann line, there's some really good options in there. And the KM-184s is one of the ones I would definitely choose. But obviously, they're much more popular for the U87, which after the growing up stage in audio, a lot of people just kind of like slowly, once they've used it often enough, they're like, oh, it's actually not that great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But...
like, Neumann's not so bad that I'm going to write a memoir about it.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, it's just not always going to be your first choice. But when it comes to small diaphragm condensers, if I'm doing, like, some shell mics,
that's just
like
everyone,
the 184s. Yeah.
That's just, like, every parent's goal is just not to have a memoir written about them. You know? Yeah. Like, it's like, if there's no memoir, best-selling, New York Times best-selling memoir written about us, then, like, we were good parents. Like, that's,
I forget that's whose memoir it was, but they talked about my absent parents, and the parents had responded in, like, one of the reviews saying, we were never absent. You literally lived at our house until you were 30. Like, what absence are you talking about?
But that might also be the reason why they deserved it. I don't know.
Hey, maybe.
They lived till they were 30 and you were still not there for me. That's crazy. Anyway.
Holy shit.
Let's go into, oh yeah, another thing as well. Point number two. So point number one was SPL be able to handle very loud sources. Point number two, I'm going to say, this is the easiest one to tell for me, mm-hmm. is the ability to handle top end. So for example, some super fast giveaways of cheap microphones is the S's, the sibilance is really bad.
Yeah.
And there's like distortion going on. So it's like, it's kind of like what you were talking about. Like it can't handle the high pressure, high frequencies. Like it's like frequency yeah. dependent almost. And like those S's sound really bad. The natural resonances in the voice really stick out. That's another one too. The top end tends to be brittle on yeah. cheap microphones. Like it's hard to manipulate. Yeah.
It's kind of funny because like I got really into this and, I guess you could say I ended up like discovering what really made a big difference in that. And it was really just the same way we look at speakers, how large the capsule is, affects its ability to pick up certain tones. But what's funny is like, you see all the time, like low, small microphones, like capsules, like the pencil condensers can pick up a ton of low end and they're very sensitive to that percussive nature. It's because they're so small. It doesn't require a lot of pressure to move it. But with larger diaphragms, it doesn't require as much pressure to move it because it can accept more pressure on its diaphragm, but it's also so big that it actually, you know, requires a little more input for it to be audible, right? But it's harder for it to actually reproduce these higher frequencies now. So a lot of times when you see large diaphragms, you won't find them on a dynamic unless it's like an SM7B or an RE20 of that nature, and it requires a ton of gain to move the capsule. But they're also very dark microphones. You know, they don't really have a lot of top end, so a lot of people don't really have that top end issue.
You're talking
those.
About ribbons?
No, dynamics.
Oh, dynamic. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
dynamics, yeah.
But with, like, condensers, I've noticed that, like, large diaphragms tend to have the hardest time at a cheaper price point, but small diaphragms actually have a much easier time with top end at a cheaper price point. Like, you can find really good pencil condensers at, like, the $200 range.
Yeah, there's a... yeah, these small diaphragm condensers sound great, actually. And I think they're really underrated. I mean, if you don't mind looking really silly, even using them with like a ton of pop filters to use on a vocal is probably a good idea as well. Like, I've
I
never...
kid you not, I've actually recorded vocals with a KM-184, which is part of why I like it.
Yeah, there's these yeah. small diaphragm condensers, I think, are really underrated as far as like studio utility goes. Really great. But I'm looking up... the reason why I got distracted is because I'm looking up. I heard something. I can't find it, but I heard something about small diaphragm condensers and large diaphragm condensers resonate at different frequencies as well, which
they
is
do.
Why the small diaphragm has more low end or whatever. I don't remember. But the point is, cheap condensers have a very brittle, unstable top end. And I'm going to add, this is kind of number three as well, but I'm going to add to number two. Is cheaper, more affordable microphones are a little bit more difficult to manipulate post-production. So during yeah. mixing, a cheap microphone is harder to mix.
Yeah.
There's a lot more resonance frequencies that stick out, and the top end is so brittle that like if you boost it, it's going to sound harsh. It's not going to sound better. And again, I think it just comes down to, from my best guess, and this is just speculation, I don't know what technically is going on under the hood. It just sounds like it's a lot more distortion going on, which is probably what it is. And so, it's just like, it's just not as smooth or linear, and it's harder to manipulate. It doesn't work well with EQs.
So this is actually kind of a good thing that you bring up, because it actually reminds me of like a test that I did between. And so everybody knows, like, me and DK have tried the C800G a bunch of times. We're not C800G fanboys or anything like that. And not to say that if you like it, it's a bad thing. But let's be honest, we realize it's a very expensive mic. And because of that, a lot of people are going to lean towards it. But I did a test with a friend once. It was the Manly Reference Cardioid with the same supposed like tube swap to match it as close as possible to the C800 and a real C800G. Both of them are actually great microphones. People use them with all kinds of success on both of them. Nobody ever really complains about it. But the one thing that you could definitely pick out, though their tonality was similar, you could pick up more of the room. And it wasn't because of like the tube or the power supply or anything. It's the capsule and how the capsule was tuned. And so cheaper microphones tend to have capsules that pick up a lot of ambience. They pick up a lot of air. And because of that, they're kind of prone to being noisy and somewhat distorted. They have like this weird sweet spot issue of like gaining the mic, where if you don't gain it loud enough, you don't get enough signal. But once you hit that threshold, like now it's too loud. You have to find like it's sweet spot per like cheap mic, and that's not always the case, but it's one of those like very evident things in a cheaper microphone where you kind of have to drive it a certain way for it to actually run properly. And even then, there's other underlying issues that, when compared to, you know, a mic that's been looked after a little more by the developers, you would see those things not exist. So for instance, one of the big ones for me would be room noise. How much ambience is it picking up outside of the source material it's intended to pick up? You know, when you think about acoustic treatment in the room, it's very important. But when you see videos of like Michael Jackson and everybody recording at like Westlake Studios and all that, and you see them in the big room and you see the camera in the room, you can hear the room echoing and resonating loud. It's not a dead room. When you think about studios like East West or United, they have massive live rooms with no absorbers. They just have diffusers everywhere. They're very resonant rooms, yet the microphone can actually capture them as if it was like just dead around them. It sounds lively. It sounds like there's air around them, but it doesn't sound very chambery or hall-like.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, dude, these nice mics and these nice rooms, they sound gorgeous. People are so afraid of capturing the room noise, but sometimes it's like what makes the recording sound great.
Oh yeah.
So especially like the bigger the rooms are, you know, things of that nature. So let's also talk about, I'm trying to think of like, when it's okay to not spend more on a mic. But in general, I think
when you know you're going to destroy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
when
a
you
snare
know,
mic.
Like a snare mic, it's okay not to have the most expensive
57 all day.
Yeah, or whatever, you know. Well, 57s and just like, yeah, anything dynamic is just so rugged, right? Yeah. They can handle so much.
I'm still surprised my 208 hasn't broken on a snare yet. I've
Latin
had
LS208.
Yeah. That thing has been whacked a bunch of times by the stick that I'm always scared because it is a condenser.
Real?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been whacked enough. I mean, like you can see like all the markings on the back where nothing is supposed to touch it anyways. It's like all scuffed up. But, you know, like I think another good sign of a mic is its ability to last over time.
Oh yeah, for sure. But like even the cheap ones, I'm thinking like they don't really die unless you specifically use the one that's like comes in a box set with the Scarlett Focusrite. And you know,
yeah,
it's like it's
yeah.
like $200 for the Scarlett Focusrite as well as a microphone and a set of headphones. Like those headphones and that microphone is probably going to crap out, you know.
Well,
$20
I mean,
microphone is not going to do you much good.
Yeah. But I mean more in the, I guess you could say the handling of it. Like how many kind of source material things can you put it in front of that it can actually survive?
So like versatility?
Versatility and its ability to be put in that location. For instance, like if you whack a U87, it's probably not going to die.
Ah, I see.
But it's going to have some issues, like, for sure, because that capsule was not meant to take any impact, nor do you
none
ever,
of these caps, no, almost no, any no, of these
but
capsules.
Like a dynamic mic, sure, but there's also like certain condensers that were built like tanks for a reason, because they knew, like, they developed them for certain like aspects.
Yeah, dude. 57s have been going to therapy for a long time. They're just resilient as shit. They've been bullied, bro.
Yeah,
57s, they're just resilient as shit, man.
Dude, did you ever see the video of the 58, the durability test?
Nah, what are they doing?
So they bury it in snow, they microwave it, they leave it in a beer.
They microwave a 58?
Yeah, and they do an audio test after every piece of abuse, and so much so that the first video is like 8 minutes long, and the second video
they microwave like, the 58 and the microwave dies. That's
no, they put it in the microwave for like 3 minutes, and they're like, let's see.
That's metal, dude.
It is.
It was probably like snap, crackling, and popping.
I'm not going to lie, I think they were in Sweden. Like,
are there microphones, or are there
microwaves
and different?
Microphones maybe have a better relationship over there?
Yeah, dude, I don't know. That's crazy.
Like, they literally put it in the freezer, their fridge, and let the ice freeze over it and everything.
According to, you know, the wives' tales that all of our moms in America say, like, putting anything metal in a microwave is how World War III is going to start. Just like total meltdown, atomic warfare. Yeah, aluminum foil in the microwave. Someone's going to die.
And what started World War III? My 2-year-old got access to the microwave somehow. How do you get on the counter? We left the ladder out.
What?
We just pushed the ladder in the right place, stuck a fork in there, and was like, let's see what happens.
Yeah, dude.
World War III.
Those SM58s, those SM57s, bro, they can withstand extreme abuse, man.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't seen the video yet, SM58 durability test on YouTube. That's all you have to look up.
Anyway,
they actually use it as a hammer. At one point, they run it over with a car 3 times.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude. That's amazing. And that's kind of like what you get. But that's like dynamic versus, well, cheap dynamic couldn't handle that. Remember, back in the day, like I'm talking like sophomore, junior of high school is probably when we bought microphones. I remember buying like that cheap set of microphones from Guitar Center. It's like $180 for a pack of 5 or 7 drum microphones.
It was
the DR Reference, I think.
DR Reference set. I was thinking the Samson kit, but
the $200
Samson was doing
pack.
It through Sam Ash.
No, it was $200. Yeah. Samsung made microphones? That's crazy.
No, Samson.
Samson. Oh, Samson. Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking about like the DR Pro.
No, yeah.
The Digital Reference ones. Like the $200 for like a pack of 5 or 7 drum microphones.
You remember why that was, though, right?
Wasn't that company owned by Guitar Center?
Well, DR Pro was owned by Guitar Center, and Samson is one of the sons of Sam Ash.
That makes sense. Yeah, that's hilarious. Anyway, but with these like microphones, these really shitty microphones, it's like, first off, better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. I had the
Amazon kit.
I do not think it was possible to get good drum tones out of that.
No.
And granted, if I had those mics now, I think we could do something with it. Mm-hmm. But like, especially these cheap microphones are just way less beginner friendly as well, which might also be a reason why you want to get it, because like you just want to knock those bad recordings out. Like, everybody's got to have bad recordings, and you just want to knock those out. Like,
could you imagine a career where you're like, I sounded better 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's a wild place to be.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. That'd be sincerely depressing.
Yeah. It's like, did I stop working? No. How are you getting worse? It's like, somebody's got to tell me I suck.
No, this is a problem. Actually, this is a great segue, kind of like, not segue, or like a little tangent here. This is, I think, is really important to say, but this is something that happens quite often, especially within like the creative fields,
mm-hmm.
where people all of a sudden like have money and they like buy their way into nice equipment and they still suck, and then that becomes extra weight on their ego and becomes, I don't know a single person that's able to confidently release music because they had money and they went from not being any experienced at all to having all the gear in the world.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that I know that are, not a lot of people, there's a few people that I know in that situation where like either they had money, they made money, they're getting to music later in life, or like they went from like no experience to having no experience and the nicest gear in the world, and they're like confident about their ability to make music. It just doesn't there, because what happens is then you remove every single excuse that you have to suck, and you just suck, and it's 100% you because you suck. You know, there's no other reason or excuse that you can make, which like sounds bad, but it's like kind of healthy to be able to make some excuses like, oh, like, yeah. I'm going to keep going. I suck because this microphone sucks. But if I keep going, like I can afford a nice microphone and like yeah. it'll make me sound better. And by and then, like,
By then I'll know more things to do to make that thing even sound better.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy to think about. I haven't like really recognized that until we've talked about it right now. So
but I think that's why we kind of need to know what makes a good mic later in our career versus at the beginning. At the beginning, you kind of just want to experience things. You want to kind of go with tried and true facts. For different people. You know what I mean? Like, if everybody tells you C12 is great, okay, but you don't understand why C12 is great. You know that you want to buy one.
You need some, like, reference.
You need contextual information.
Yeah, context, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, when you first start out, you might be only able to afford, like, Warm Audio's C12 clone. And that's totally cool. Like,
and that's
a good mic,
to be honest.
Yeah, we have the Warm Audio C800 at the studio as like a secondary mic, and that's a solid mic.
I like Warm Audio's gear. I've never been disappointed by Warm Audio's gear, actually.
I can't say the same, but I think it's because I was like tainted by one specific piece of gear, and it was one specific issue. It was the 1176 noise, and that was it.
Was it mine?
No, I had them since initial release. Like, I bought one of the original releases.
Oh, I didn't have that issue in mine. I had a pair, which I don't have anymore.
Yeah. I was working at Sam Ash when Warm Audio started. And that's when, like, I picked it up. And it just, there was two main issues. It was like a power supply issue.
It's probably something that they figured out since then.
It's probably figured out by now. Yeah, but I did notice the one thing is still present. It's the, on their two-way clone, because I went to a buddy's house to like mix for him for a little bit about 2-3 months ago, and I still recognized a little bit of like buzzing when compressing, but I think that's part of the characteristic that they kind of like built in, and it's something that's not present in the original two-way.
That might be a power supply or like a house power thing too, like the power of the I've always enjoyed my Warm Audio stuff, and we still have the mic. We still have the bus.
Yeah, the mic is
too,
doing
as well.
Great.
We're talking about something totally unrelated. So let's get back into microphones here.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I do think that microphones are, they've gotten so good too.
Yeah, cheaper microphones are getting
so
better.
Good. Yeah, don't buy anything on Amazon. That's just, if you buy a mic on Amazon, you're, bro.
Hold on. Don't buy a weird third party, camera company that's selling microphone. Still buy like your Warm Audio, still buy your Latin Audio, still buy like your Sony or whatever on Amazon, but stop buying the Amazon knockoffs.
That's for sure. Also, I want to talk about the great thing about having, you know, not having money at the beginning or not being able to afford different microphones is that context that we talked about a moment ago is extremely important. When we say that we don't like the Neumann 87 or the C800G, what I'm not trying to tell you and what we're not trying to tell you is to not use them, and we're not trying to tell you that you're not allowed to like them or that you're less or we're better because we dislike them or something like that. What we are encouraging you to do is to try other microphones as well.
Yep.
And if you haven't tried the C800G, and if you idolize it and you just haven't spent a lot of time with it, spend more time with it.
Yeah.
You know, and come up with your own opinions. Because these are, at the end of the day, to a certain degree, after a certain price point or a certain level, it comes down to preference.
Yep.
Which is like people forget about. People think it's like, objectively, this is a better microphone. And objectively, that's incorrect.
Yeah. You know how many times I've talked to people who just started and they're like, oh, the C800 is the best mic in the world, right? It's like,
That's like the red flag of like, oh, so you haven't used a lot of other mics.
Yeah, like it's a very telling sign when working around people who've been around.
Yeah. Neumann 87 is your favorite mic? Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's not crazy to say that anybody's going to like shit talk. It's like, okay, cool, they like 87 or C800 or whatever. But if the reason is very blanketed behind like, oh, that's what I heard, that's what so and so uses, it's got to be the best, it's like, not really. I mean, everybody thinks that Drake solely uses like a C800, but he actually uses Mojave mics, and you know how much shine and love Mojave's getting on the general public? Not a lot.
Yeah, Mojave's great.
You know, Cardi B, Freddie Gibbs, and a bunch of other people are using Edens. Actually, Ari Lennox is using Edens on the recording. Yeah, Young Thug.
Ari Lennox, yeah.
And it's funny because, like, Edens, once again, don't get the same praise that the C800 get. But I'm low-key kind of glad about that because I'd rather people really like it and want to use it over it their actual practical use of it and saying, wow, actually, I do like it in comparison versus just the blanket term of, like, oh, it's the best because it's the most expensive. So there is a good marketing tool behind that, though.
And this is great, too, because I do think that there's a lot of value in just trying mics, going to different studios, trying mics, buying different microphones, not being afraid to read reviews and trying a brand that you've never heard of before.
Try the ones that have bad reviews and try to see if the bad reviews are even warranted. I kid you not.
I don't know about wasting your money on ones with bad reviews, but I mean, conceptually, that's a good idea. But there's, I mean, practically, I'm not spending money on one with bad reviews.
Like, for instance, I saw a review of the R84. Let's see if you agree with this.
Is that the one we have? I have? Yeah. The pill one? Yeah.
Worst microphone for vocals ever.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That was one of the reviews, I kid you not, that I've read for it when I was looking it up because I wanted to get the R88 and I was like, oh, the R84 is just a mono version and it's not active. Okay. And then I look at it, I'm like, I wonder, I used to pair this with an 87.
That's the type of review where it's like my initial reaction is like, because you could tell sometimes with these reviews is like, oh, user error.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. R84 on vocals alone. Were you doing folk music? What were you doing?
Were you doing like old toony jazz stuff?
Yeah. Like, what was the tonality you were after? And did it align with that? No? Okay. Sounds like user error.
Yeah. It sounds like you have no reference and you put too much hope and dopamine into wanting this microphone.
This might be a good segue into like what makes a good ribbon mic, because there's mics like the Rohr R121s, there's the AA R84s or the R88, which I'm a fan of. There's even like what is it? Is it Coleman 4388s? What is 4038?
That little iron looking one. It looks like an iron.
Yeah.
Like you can iron your clothes with.
Yeah. I've actually gotten to use those only once, but like they sounded amazing for overheads. Haven't tried them on vocals.
Super good on overheads.
I've used the R121 from Royer on vocals. It sounded great. But like the funny thing is like ribbon mics are very niche specific use microphones, but what ribbons do very differently from most other microphones is instead of using a standard like round capsule, they use a tension tuned ribbon, which actually doesn't bode well for top end, but it does bode well for like natural low mids and mids.
So yeah, let's talk about like a couple things that make a good ribbon a good ribbon. Number one, I think is more so than the condenser is durability.
Actually,
like you can whip it around and it doesn't like the foil doesn't break, the ribbon doesn't break, the ribbon doesn't stick to one of the magnets itself.
Yeah. Now older ribbons, that is not the case. It's funny. Like older ribbons, you breathe on it wrong and it broke.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the newer ones, all the new designs have like really gone up in durability. Really well made.
So durability is I think number one. Well, and also like smoothness, because some of these ones, like the shitty ones, like have this like really crazy like low mid bump.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like the one like the Rohr 121 you were talking about on guitars, like it's just really smooth mid range. Yeah, you know, the mid range is magic with these ribbons.
Yeah,
is that kind of your experience?
Oh yeah.
Tell us something. What makes a good ribbon microphone?
For me, something that can handle a little more SPL is always. Yeah. Reason being is one of my favorite uses for them is almost like a semi room mic / gooch mic. So ribbons.
Crotch mic?
Yep. Well, I like to call it the gooch mic.
That's for drummers, by the way. You put a microphone pointed at their wiener.
Yep.
And then
just above the kick drum.
Or no wiener. And right. then you point it there and then it picks up everything. It's great.
So it's kind of funny because like it picks up everything, but when you compress it, like because ribbons are so transient, like you actually get this nice, like very thick, thumpy tone with them. So like using it on like a guitar cab, you actually get a little more of that warm resonance, that lower mid thickening of the guitar tone without having to be so extremely projected in the upper mid. So like when you're doing like rhythm guitars and using a ribbon mic with it, it actually sits in the mix a bit better because you can blend in a little more of the ribbon to add density to like the lower guitar tracks and bring it down on some of the more present or prominent guitar tracks so that you're not eating up so much of those low mids, but you can still have a secondary mic that controls the amount of body you want in your tone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But because it's so transient, it just lends itself well to like a good, I guess you could say like dynamic mic that's picking up the transients and like mids and upper mids. Like it's a good balancing microphone.
Oh yeah. Ribbons are great. And I think we could talk about other microphone types too. I wanted this less to be about microphone types, but let's go into, those are the main ones. We talked about dynamics already, actually.
Yeah.
To a certain degree. Yeah, durability. Dynamic microphones, they're just meant to be thrown around, to be honest. And I think that would you agree with this statement? I'm thinking out loud right now, but what makes a good dynamic microphone? A good dynamic microphone is going to make a little bit more of a difference in live scenarios than in studio scenarios.
I think that's exactly the case. As somebody who does live sound all the time, a very well-made capsule on a dynamic microphone makes the world of a difference. For instance,
from a stage perspective.
Like
yeah.
When it comes to Sennheiser, I'm a fan of some of their studio mics. When it comes to live, I'm very much an anti-Sennheiser guy.
Really?
Yeah. Not because they're bad. They pick up a lot of resonance in the room. And because of that, they actually have a much lower threshold for
feedback.
Yep. So even though they sound nice, they don't operate nice. And that's kind of the thing. In live sound, you're still going for golden sound, right? But you need something that can actually focus more on the source material versus the actual stage bleed. Mm. And that's kind of a big thing. Like in studios, we want microphones that give us as much clarity as we can. Every little nook and cranny's got to be shown in the light, right? But in live audio, if I can hear the kick drum in the vocal mic, we have an audio issue potentially, because aside from the kick mic playing through the speaker, now we have the kick playing through the vocal, and anything I do to the vocal is going to accentuate that kick now, which in a studio setting, that's just not going to sound great. But let's think about it on a practical setting. That's also phase cancellation. You know, if we're having phase cancellation issues on some like primary source information, like bass information, kick information, snare information, then we potentially are losing transient information and like actual tone. So in live cases, like a good dynamic mic is something that one has a really high threshold for feedback, meaning that we want less feedback possible the louder we get in our monitor. And a lot of times, if you're working with an artist that doesn't use in-ears or anything, a loud floor monitor is absolutely necessary. If you're working on a small stage and you got a live band, let's say one of the Latin groups that I work with, for example, has three trumpeters, two saxophones, a tuba, a trombone, timbales, congas, bongos, guiro, cajon, two keyboardists, a bass player, and a guitarist, and three vocalists. Who do you think is louder? You know, like I need as much isolation from the rest of the group as I can for those vocals.
Yeah.
Because no way in hell are the vocals getting heard over everything else on stage.
Yeah.
You know, and if the audience is right by the stage, they're getting all of that information to their face live. And then I need something to be projected through the speakers. So if the vocal mics are just re-amplifying the rest of the band, and it's not picking up a lot of the vocal, it's just picking up a lot of ambience, one, I won't be able to give them enough monitor for themselves, but the audience will just be getting even more of the band through the vocal mics.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's also like a category of microphones we haven't really tapped into, and we probably won't really tap into because it's more of a live thing, but also very useful in the studios, that some mics you just buy for the utility of it. For example, like I'm thinking about like on the timbales or like on some tom mics, even, you know, like the Shure microphones where they have like a gooseneck top.
Yep. Beta 98s.
Like, yeah. Those are just like utility wise, just great to have.
To be honest, they sound great too. Yeah. I really like them.
Yeah. So like, I mean, that's like a whole category of microphone where they're like shaped really weird for the utility of it. Or like they have like, it's an underwater microphone, or like in the kick drum, you can put in like a perimeter microphone or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
You know, the flat ones that you look like they're like a
It's a boundary microphone.
A boundary microphone. That's what it is. Things like that, where there's like utility ones, the Subkick microphone, things like that.
Oh, I love the Subkick.
I would recommend. Anyway, before we get into the last topic, which I want to talk about, when you wouldn't need to upgrade.
Sure.
So it's like, when it's okay to stick with the cheaper microphone. But before we talk about that, I'm going to talk about our sponsors.
Let's do it.
This week, we're sponsoring our own show. We're sponsored by the Mixing Music Podcast.
We are?
Thank you for sponsoring ourselves.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah, wow.
Thank you,
we're
DK.
So cool. And the Mixing Music Podcast is brought to you by us. And what was I going to say? Oh, yes. We have exclusive
content.
Yeah, hell yeah. Have you checked out the exclusive content?
Hell yeah.
Dude, it's kind of cool. It's really cool. And Brayden does a phenomenal job. I've tasked Brayden with finding clips from interviews or videos, tutorials from other Grammy-winning engineers, producers, songwriters, mastering engineers, as well as influencers. And Brayden and I, we talk about the brutal truth. And we analyze what these people are saying and why it's a good idea or why it's a terrible idea, why these people are fucking wrong. Sometimes we talk about that.
Yeah.
And sometimes we talk about how they're absolutely correct. And it's really useful. It's very technical. It's very curated. It's curated very well. Brayden does a phenomenal job and does almost all of the work. If you're interested and if you like, you can hear the exclusive content through the exclusive archives. We've been releasing one episode a week, exclusive archive. They're from like almost a year ago, these exclusive episodes, and it's only one a week. But if you go to the website, go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive, for $4 a month or $40 a year, you can get access to two new episodes every single week on Wednesday and Thursday alongside our free content. So it's a really great thing. Go check that out. Once again, that's mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive, or just go to mixingmusicpodcast.com and check out our sponsors and our other things. We appreciate your support. So on the last note, let's talk about when it's not a good idea to upgrade your microphone.
Okay, I'll go first. When you can't afford it. Let's
bam,
be honest.
Bam.
Let's be 100% honest. A lot of people are saving up as if the microphone is the priority because it will make the greatest difference in their setup. Now, if you have a $20 Amazon mic, you might be right. You might be right.
Recording on the wax is going to sound better now.
Yeah, recording on your iPhone headphones.
Recording on the microphone built into the gaming headset.
Dude, I know people who made their records like that and got like really big on SoundCloud and everything, and then they're like, oh. Okay, maybe I should take it a little more seriously, but like,
or not, dude. If they got big on SoundCloud, you got to keep doing it. Don't mess with the magic, bro.
But I see a lot of people who are like, "Oh yeah, you know, like I'm gonna pull out a credit card and then I'm gonna get this mic," and I'm like, "Hold on, do you make money from it? Do you make money from that? Because the ROI on a mic, on any piece of equipment outside of your computer, your speakers, and you know, your acoustic treatment." Really doesn't have an ROI that's really that trackable at all. And your microphone is definitely probably the biggest factor in that.
Yeah, this is just like financial advice in general. Like, that's just good financial advice.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, like, don't... If you have a mid-range, like a $300 to $700 microphone, and it's been doing you good... It's not worth going into debt. Like, the problems that it's going to solve from getting like a nicer microphone is not going to be worth the debt you're going to collect if you can't afford it. So it is better. It's different. But realistically, it's not going to change your life in a way that's worth going into debt for. I think that's the best way to put it into. So that's a good financial advice, Lou. And we talk a lot about that, spending habits. But also... from like a problem solving perspective, like the problems you think it's going to solve, it's not going to really solve. And at the end of the day, if you want to actually, I recommend this, depending on where you're at, like if you're in Los Angeles or depending on where you're at, even guitar centers oftentimes have rental centers, or go to another studio, just rent a couple hours of studio times and bring in like a friend to say, hey, let's record your next song. And, go out of your way to try all of these different microphones before you buy them. And I think try to emulate the best way that you can your setup. For example, if you go rent, you know, go to the studio to try to use their microphone.
Don't run it through their vocal chain.
Yeah, don't run it through their vocal chain. Just go straight into their converter just to hear it. You can hear just the mic.
And remember that every room is different.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Like if you record in your closet surrounded by your sweater, it's going to sound very different than if you rented the studio and you recorded in a perfectly treated room, you know, but it, you know, contextually speaking, you know, take your mic with you.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Take your mic with you.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. That way you have a reference point.
Yeah. So I wouldn't go all into it right away. Like, it does solve a lot of problems. It is worth having a nice microphone, but we're also talking in the perspective of two professionals that make full-time money from music. Right.
Yeah.
So, keep that in mind, especially not just this episode, but in any episodes that we talk about. For example, we did bring this up with buying gear in general, like with compressors and EQs. Like, buying gear as a hobbyist is very different than buying gears as a professional. And from a professional standpoint, it doesn't make as much sense than as a hobbyist.
Yeah.
A hobbyist, it makes more sense to buy gear as a hobbyist than it does as a professional.
Yeah.
Depending on the scenarios.
As a hobbyist, you do it for mixing.
Yeah. For recording, it still does make sense for a professional standpoint.
Yeah. It does and it doesn't, I'd say, on the recording end. I'd say it for one reason. Okay.
Oh, it's a utility thing. It's more of a utility.
It's a utility thing because, like, utility for a commercial studio would be its brand marketing, right?
I was thinking you want to compress on the way in. Other way is like UAB.
Yeah, but
right?
Like, when you do it on a personal way, that's the mindset. But like, on a commercial level, it's like, okay, cool. We got to buy a compressor. We should buy a Tube Tech. Why? It's like, because we can put that on our website and people will book because
people are stupid and think Tube Techs are the reason why their vocals are going to sound good.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. And then we throw that on our website. Heck yeah.
Yeah. But if it's for let's say you're doing professionally from your home and you're working with people that you want to work with, like you're actually going out and scouting your client versus your client scouting you, don't worry about getting the most expensive one. Get something that you like.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, speed up your tech. On Tube Techs, y'all.
Yeah, they're too slow.
Sometimes it's just get funny looking waveforms.
Where it's just like transient nothing.
Yeah, learn how to use your shit too. Honestly, that's like, I think that's a good way to talk, like, segue into that too. Like, sometimes like using your microphone and getting acoustic treatment is a better investment than upgrading your microphone. But there's also lots of times where it's like, hey, like you're trying to record a drum kit. But this is me, dude. But I have two different condenser microphones from two different companies I'm using as stereo overheads. And like, I'm putting together SM57 is put together by tape, dude. And it's just, you know, like it's literally,
I know which
time.
One you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, that one I modded, you know,
yeah,
so it's some tape, but, yeah, you know, like there's times that $100 drum kit microphone, those kit microphones. Yeah. Those are long gone, you know?
I think a good idea of when not to upgrade your mic is, when considering where you're recording. Honestly, it's kind of like what I was saying about the closet. If you're recording in the closet and you're surrounded by clothing, try recording in your living room. Try recording somewhere with a higher ceiling. Try recording at a friend's house and see if you still don't like the sound of your mic. Because our actual ambience actually plays a huge factor in how the mic sounds, especially, like I said, considering whether we pick up a lot of the room or not, whether you use a Chaotica eyeball or not. Sorry about the yawn. But a good example of this would be the Chaotica eyeball. I'm not a hater, but I'm not a fan. The reason I say this is
it doesn't always sound the best.
No, it becomes a vibe thing at a certain point. Yeah,
it's a solution, but it's like, hopefully you don't have to have the problem.
Yeah, like I went to a friend's house. They have a place up in downtown LA, and they live in one of those kind of like cement floor old school buildings that's been modified on the inside to be a little more modern. They put like new elevators and nice paintings, whatever. But it's still a cement floor, cement walls, and just giant windows of glass.
They got some nice ass squibbles in frames.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Nice ass squibbles. You know, I get stoked
they hang
for squibbles,
plants
bro.
On their windows, kind
oh,
of.
Oh hell yeah,
yeah,
dude!
Yeah, it's that downtown apartment.
Yeah,
right?
People got them gray suits on with three buttons, dog.
Oh shit! Oh, did you forget about the monocle?
Oh damn!
Don't
dog.
Forget about the monocle. That's when you really hit big.
Oh, wow, dude.
No, but it's kind of funny because they told me, they're like, I feel like my mic sounds a little bit cloudy. I was like, what do you mean? They're like, it just sounds like I'm a little muffled. And I'm like, okay, well, let me see. Where do you have the mic? And they reveal these curtains that I made. They made like a pseudo booth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the Chaotica on it on top of that. And I was like, okay. And like, I was looking around the room, like, you have acoustic treatment everywhere. Like, why do you need like a He was like, it sounds good in here. So I take off the catalog, I take off the curtains. I'm like, how about we just track a verse real quick? And he's like, yeah, okay, cool. And I just to give him like the placebo pill, I told him like, I'm gonna modify your vocal chain a little bit. He's like, okay, cool. We recorded a verse. He's like, dude, that sounds great. Do you mind if we record the hook? I'm like, yeah, let's do that. Recorded it. And he's like, what'd you do? I'm like, jack shit. The Chaotica does this whole like tunneling thing where it kind of muffles your voice a little bit, like cupping the mic when you're playing live. You don't cup the mic when you're performing live unless you want that muffly tone. It projects a lot of mids. So that could have been some of the harshness you were talking about. And you said it sounded kind of dead, that you wanted something that sounded like it had a little more air, you know, remove the curtain as well. And he's like, dude, it sounds so much better. What'd you do to the vocal chain? I'm like, nothing, literally nothing. We just removed the things that were clouding your sound in the surrounding area of the mic.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't need to buy a new mic. You just have to play with your microphone.
Yeah.
Like, just play with it and see if you like the way it sounds. Go rent a mic and compare it and see if you have the same issue in the same spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point there. So I don't think that everybody needs to upgrade their microphone. I do think, what do you think is like the price range when mics start getting good? Like within the $500 to $600 mark?
I'd
for
say
me?
$300.
Really? You found some like really good $300 mics?
Yeah. They're not always going to be condensers, but they're going to be good.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. Specifically for condensers.
Specifically for condensers, 600 is good space.
Yeah. Like
500 is 600. Still good, but it's like hit or miss.
Like anything 600 and above is honestly like commercial grade reliable. Yeah.
It used to be like best mic under 500 or best mic within 5 to 1,000. I feel like nowadays it's more that best mic under 600.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the new category we should be seeing on YouTube. Reason being is that, like, there's this border between, like, the 600 to, like, 1,100, 1,200, where you start seeing some really, really good mics. The ribbon mics start popping up and everything.
Yeah. 1,000 mics is another threshold. $1,000 is, like, another threshold.
Yeah. But, like, the 999 is still just shy of, like, its peak. You know, so like giving, I think everything's kind of bumped up like $100 to $200 in like their threshold of like greatness.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing a lot of newer mics doing really cool things. For instance, like my favorite thing about the Lawton stuff is the voicing switch, but it's not the only company that has a voicing switch. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah.
Do you know about Erlin microphones?
I was not going to say Erlin, but I know another company that does it as well. I don't know about Erlin.
Yeah. Erlin does something that's very special that you kind of brought up earlier, which is
capsules. Like, Erlin is the name of like, dude, Erlin is like that IT guy in the back, bro.
It's like, where's Erlin? My printer doesn't work.
dude, that's Erlin is a funny name.
But Erlin does something with their capsules that, you know, few brands have tried, but hardly succeeded with. They do triangular capsules instead of circular capsules. And the whole idea behind this is to actually make the actual resonance of your capsule go away much faster. It's to minimize that resonant tone in the capsule. And because of this, they actually have like an extremely tight low end. Like it's very present low end, but it's very accurate. The mid range is nice and smooth and the top end is not brittle. Like I've used a ton of their microphones and they sound amazing. Actually, the EHR or EHMR, I forget what the model number
is. EHR-M.
Yeah. That thing is insane. But they actually have a tube one that's going to be... they had showcased it at NAMM. I don't know if it released yet or not.
Talking about NAMM,
It's coming up.
We're going to talk about a little get together. Maybe on the next episode, we should talk and announce a get together. We're going to go bother the people at Antares again.
Yeah, but on this one, you can see it's not on their site yet, so they probably haven't released it just yet. But they showed it at NAMM, and the idea is this: you can change the polarity tightness. So it's a fixed, it's cardioid, but it's not fixed cardioid. You can actually switch it between super hyper cardioid and semi-omni with just a dial in the front of it. So depending on how much room ambience you want, you can actually dial it in directly from the microphone.
Dude, it's got a triangle membrane, dude. A triangle. Oh, yeah. That's crazy. I'm looking at it right now. But anyway, the point of this is not to talk about Erlin microphones, but to talk about trying, being afraid, yeah. not being afraid to try new technologies, new things.
If you see something weird and it interests you, go try it out.
Go try it out, man. Go to NAMM and come hang out with us. Try out the mics. Go to Vintage King. Vintage King, if you're in a place where Vintage King is near you,
yeah.
go to Vintage King. Go to a friend's house. Go try things out. Just build context.
You know, I'm curious. Have you tried the Bumblebee mic?
No. Oh, the one that's colored like a bumblebee?
Yeah.
Like from the branch off of Gibson? Neat mic, yeah. No, I've not tried
it. I've never tried it, but I've always been curious because it's like, how badass would it be to say that you got a record, like a plaque or something?
And it looks like a bumblebee, dude.
Yeah, and it's like, what mic did you use that bumblebee looking
at? The one that's marketed to three-year-olds.
You know, yeah, like I put wings on it while we were recording just to make it extra special.
Yeah, dude, you can hear the buzziness in my voice.
Oh,
dude,
you hear that nice mid-buzz? The artist is like, I'm feeling
dude,
a buzz
vocals,
right now.
My vocals sound smooth like honey, dog.
I think I would laugh if I was like at the studio one day and it's like one of those kind of sessions where like everybody has a drink. It's like, yo, I'm buzzing right now. And somebody pulls out the microphone. I think I'd be the guy that just starts laughing embarrassingly.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good place to end the episode. Hopefully this helps you with your microphone journey and your audio engineering journey. Microphones are important, and I think they're something that people need to experience more of. So go ahead and try out, experiment. Don't listen to us. Don't listen to your friends. Make your own opinions. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.